the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Wrestling for your entertainment and never the other way around. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at The Rexplex. Like us on Facebook and join the group for some fun discussion. Just search The Rexplex. And if you have any comments, concerns, or questions, you can email us at TheRexplex@gmail.com. Now, there's quite a few different things I have on my mind that we can talk about. I guess starting it off with two things that I really enjoyed. Both of these things happened on Tuesday. The first that I'll get into was the rant on Tuesday. The pre-show of the rant was awesome. It was great. I really loved listening to my friends and the Rant EM family reminisce on history, and to hear AA open up, it really took me back, and it was really cool to hear. He said a lot of things. Everyone said a lot of things that resonated with me. One of them being that you'll hear so many different podcasts that will talk negatively and just bitch and complain, and it's not really worth doing that. It makes no sense to even have your own podcast about something that you love and enjoy, and then to trash it week after week, which is why we try to look at the bright side of things. We'll get into discussions, we may get into arguments, but it always works out. All of the shows on the Rant EM Radio Network are great, and just the history and everything that was brought up, all the different names, it was awesome. I really enjoyed that on Tuesday night, so shout out to everyone at Rant EM Radio and everyone. I mean, pretty much there wasn't a name left out. So shouts out to everyone who was on Tuesday night. That was really cool. Also on Tuesday night, we saw the ESPN documentary Behind the Curtain, which showed us an all-access behind-the-scenes look at the developmental territory NXT. This was really cool. Let me take a stop right now to say welcome to the show, Lexi V.
Hello.
What's up, Lexi V?
Nothing much. Just got home. Having a girl's day, you know?
Yeah, I know you had. Got your nails did.
Yeah, I'm here with one of my old roommates from college. We hadn't seen each other in like over a year. And we're going to do it again next week, 2 weeks from now. So yeah, got my little schedule going on.
Yeah, sounds good. So, how's everything? All good?
All good. No complaints. Life is good.
Okay, yeah, this documentary, I highly recommend it. Okay, she'll be right back. I highly recommend this documentary to anyone. It was great. Let's see, it pretty much started with showing Adam Rose and his son, and he talks about how he wishes he has more son for him. He wished he had more time for his son, and they show him connecting something to his son. Now they show in 2013, I believe is what it said, Triple H in a classroom at Full Sail, and he's talking to the students, and he's saying, some of you will make it, but most of you won't. You see an array of different characters in there, including people whose names I've forgotten, and also people like Chris Hero, many people who were gone, and also people who have moved up to the main roster. They have a narrator who says that the WWE Network is where they show the performances, and they're trying to fight to get cable. That wasn't really accurate. I didn't understand that part. But pretty much what this did is this followed Ray LaPon, a.k.a. Adam Rose, formerly Leo Kruger, Austin Watson, who is actually my cousin, Xavier Woods, and Corey Graves. And by the end of this, you really feel for all three of these guys. And it was really heartwarming, a lot of heartwarming parts in it, especially when you find out about Adam Rose's son. He had his liver borne on the outside of his body and surpassed anything that the doctors could have seen happen. It's also, there's a lot of drama and kind of sad parts with, I felt bad for Corey Graves. I really felt bad for Corey Graves when you see his family and the whole part where, there's a part where his son draws something for Corey Graves that says, "I love my daddy," and it's a picture, and it says, because he's a big, strong wrestler, and Corey Graves' wife is in tears, saying she doesn't want to give him the picture, let him see it. Another part I found interesting is when Corey Graves said he always gave himself full sleeves of tattoos and video games and stuff like that, and he always gave himself full sleeves of tattoos, and he was called Sterling Keenan, and I actually remember that, and so I didn't remember him from the indie scene, but I do remember Sterling Keenan. Also, just working, they showed some Triple H working with the Wyatt family on a few small things, which was also fascinating to see. So, I mean, you pretty much get to see the start and beginning of the past that many people follow, and there's a lot of Bill DeMott on there. You see Adam Rose's debut as Adam Rose, and he's so emotional. It was awesome. I've read reports that said, where they said that this is what WWE wishes WWE 24 was. Well, WWE 24, I still enjoy those. Those are all pretty damn good. But yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say about this. I didn't really take any notes on it. It was just going off my head. But yeah, definitely highly recommend this to anyone. There was also a lot of talk going around this weekend. I'm not sure if you heard, Lexi V.
What?
Apparently, they made billions of dollars for charging people $100 a piece to watch somebody who was manly packing towels with Florence Merriweather in a fight.
Oh my god, I'm so glad I didn't watch that fight. Like, everyone sounds so disappointed. Everyone's just like, oh, man. Like, everyone's got some sort of complaint about it. It's like, well, like, I don't understand boxing. I don't understand all the hype behind it. I don't know. It's just me. Even though I have a friend who's a boxer, and if his career goes far, I would totally support him. But I just don't. It's not my thing. Let's put it that way.
Well, boxing is not what it used to be, and I watched the fight. Luckily, I didn't pay $100 for it. But everyone had hard times finding illegal streams.
Right.
I didn't really care either way. I was kind of leaning on Pacquiao until I started doing some research. So what you basically had in this fight, everyone was talking about it. People became boxing fans out of nowhere overnight just to watch this damn thing. And the buy rates were ridiculous. The $100 for the pay-per-view.
It's so crazy.
And we had the Burger King come out with Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
The actual Burger King.
The actual Burger King?
Yeah.
That is so nuts.
Who else came out with Justin Bieber came out with him. Because that's his homie. Justin Bieber is Florence Merriweather's homie. But I wonder how many people, while watching that fight, realize that they're watching a fight between a... someone who has hit women multiple times in the past and a Filipino politician who was anti-homosexuality.
Crazy.
Do you know, most people don't know that about them, too.
Yeah.
Pacquiao's I believe he's correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know, maybe a senator, he's something, but he's in the Philippines, and he has a strong anti-homosexuality sense, and Mayweather's done all kinds of, he's an egotistical maniac, he's got some problems speaking properly.
That's crazy.
But, yeah, he came out, Pacquiao came out with Jimmy Kimmel.
Really?
Beyonce was there.
Of course she was.
But she said she's an independent woman and she supports women's rights. Why was she cheering on a wife beater?
Ouch.
Just saying.
I don't know. I'm not her.
Okay, on to our next story. Speaking of Justin Bieber, it was reported from former WWE creative writer Kevin Eck in a blog that Justin Bieber wanted to wrestle at SummerSlam in 2014 to team with John Cena and The Big Show to face the Wyatt family. Apparently WWE was not interested in that.
Why would they?
So what do you think about that? How now, could you picture that?
No, I actually really can't.
John Cena, The Big Show, Justin Bieber on one side, going against the Wyatt family.
That's so weird.
The match was discussed amongst the booking team. It was about 5 months before SummerSlam, but the deal with Bieber never came to fruition. Not sure how close it was to actually happening. Everyone was concerned that the biggest concerns from the WWE apparently were that Bieber was making headlines for all the wrong reasons, and John Cena is supposed to be Mr. Wholesome, even though you can go listen to his Howard Stern interviews and realize that he isn't as wholesome as he likes to come off on television. And WWE also thought out what would happen following this about Justin Bieber running his mouth about how he had won a wrestling match and off of him trying to get more publicity off of WWE. WWE will get publicity off of you. They think several steps ahead as far as celebrities. I wish they would do that more so with storylines, though.
That's so crazy.
So you wouldn't pay to see the Justin Bieber debut?
Absolutely not.
Oh, that sucks.
Why would I?
So Justin Bieber is not going to... I like the very end of the report. It said that they thought it might be a potential since Mayweather fought for WWE. See, coming all back around now. Mayweather fought Big Show at Mania a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And Mayweather knocked out Big Show, so they were cool with Mayweather, and since Mayweather's cool with Bieber, they thought there would be some kind of that it would work out.
Cool with
that's how we got here.
That's so weird.
Justin Bieber came out with Mayweather on Saturday.
I don't know why anybody would be cool with Bieber.
Because he took the roast so well. He just sat there.
He's such a slut. Like, he is the biggest, like, annoying little slut ever.
Okay.
Like, he is such a fucking whore. It's not even funny. Like, I read somewhere that, like, he would only go to, like, a certain place if everyone serving him was open to sleeping with him, and every single one of them was. Slut. Justin Bieber is a fucking slut.
Remember when he was found with that hooker and there was a poop stain on the bed?
No, but I remember when when he hooked up with some girl and she, like, took a picture of him sleeping.
That was the same chick.
Wasn't a hooker, though?
Apparently, that's what I heard.
I don't remember if it was a hooker or not.
There was a poop stain on the bed.
I don't remember that.
I'm not sure if that... That might have been speculation. It could have been, But she was Brazilian, though, and they take it in the butt a lot, so...
Oh, my God. Well, apparently he fucked Miranda Kerr.
Okay, is that the girl from Sex and the City?
No, it's, a model, Victoria's Secret model, who had a baby and married Orlando Bloom.
No. All right.
You remember that?
No. But I remember when I had a rap career that bloomed in Orlando. The next pay-per-view on the WWE schedule is Payback. The show is set to take place on Sunday, May 17th at the Royal Farms Arena in Baltimore, Maryland. You know, the place that was on fire a couple days ago.
What was on fire?
Maryland. Baltimore, Maryland? With the riots.
Yeah, that's true.
Is it going to be screwy because WWE's going there so soon after?
No, I don't think so.
Or will it be like what Bob Marley did in Trenchtown when there was all the political wars going on and all the uprising and upheaval and the riots, and Bob Marley actually did a concert that brought peace? Do you think... I'm not calling WWE Bob Marley. But I'm saying, will it bring a distraction from, you know, all the hecticness and all the drama to have a big event there?
Oh, I don't know.
Not necessarily a big event. I mean, it's just fucking Payback. But there's actually only about a few official matches. We have Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns versus Randy Orton versus recently added Dean Ambrose for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship in a fatal four-way. Now, it was a triple threat with Rollins, Reigns, and Orton. So it was three people, and it was threatening. There was a threat level.
Right.
But now with Ambrose added, it is a fatal four-way, which means someone might die. So it's fatal now. It was just a threat.
That's crazy.
Now that I'm just making... I'm just messing with the WWE semantics. Rollins and Orton Town shit. See, but with this... The only reason Orton is here is in this match because he has shit with Rollins. But I think in congruency way too much. So I go to the fact that when Daniel Bryan won the title at WrestleMania 30, mm-hmm. Orton went in there as the champion, and Batista was the one who tapped out in a three-way, so... Orton never really lost the title. So that's why he deserves this match, but that's going pretty far back. That's why I think he really deserves it. But what genius could have happened, and still possibly will happen, would be Seth Rollins, a triple threat match, Rollins, Reigns, and Ambrose for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah.
That way you would have the three Shield members all taking on each other for the top prize in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah. And we're going to get John Cena against Rusev again for the U.S. Championship. And it's going
again?
To be another I Quit match.
I Quit? What's that?
First person to quit loses.
Oh.
You can't pin, no whatever. Well, submission is I Quit, I guess.
Crazy.
No, that just made me think about, I forgot his name. Well, I'll get back to him later as an indie wrestler. I mean, it's possible that we'll see Dolph Ziggler against Sheamus, Nikki Bella taking on Naomi, and Tyson Kidd and Cesaro against The New Day. And The New Day, boy, did they turn around for me. I'm going to definitely get into that when we talk about Raw. Yeah, definitely. I'm going to go get something to... Well, I have a... Shout out to Big Shot. Big Shot. Made in New Orleans. Right? You can't get this in other states.
Is it made in New Orleans?
Every time people visit from other states, they always say, "Oh, we gotta get a big shot."
Is that mine or yours?
That's yours.
Aw, you're drinking mine? Not fair.
You left it in the freezer.
That's because I wanted it to get cold.
Did you want
to? You drank yours.
If I didn't take it out the freezer, it would have blown up.
Well, thank you for taking it out, but no thanks for drinking it.
Well, you're welcome. Okay, and let's get into some TNA news.
The world is a vampire.
And feelings on this. Let me just get into the report with the future. This is from some webpage. Fuck them. With the future of Smashing Pumpkins looking kind of murky, Billy Corgan appears to be carving out a new profession for himself, putting his deep-rooted passion for pro wrestling and 3 decades in the entertainment industry to good use. The frontman has been appointed senior producer of creative and talent development for TNA Wrestling. Now, Alexis, as a TNA hater,
okay,
do you think this will be a helpful thing?
It could be. I don't know.
I need more than that.
Listen, I don't know what he knows about anything. I mean, granted that he is, like, a rock star and he is a creative person, I think. And, like, if he's obviously a fan, otherwise he wouldn't be involved in this.
He's been a fan since he was a kid.
So, obviously, he has some idea about where he wants to see and where he wants to go. So, and he already is a successful creative person as it is, so, like, why wouldn't it be a good thing? Why wouldn't change be a good thing, especially given as how crappy their situation is right now?
Yeah, and I feel it's weird that he said he's carving out a new profession for himself, because Paul Heyman, before ECW went out of business, was actually in talks with Billy Corgan. Of course, the Pumpkins, Smashing Pumpkins, were a lot bigger in the 90s.
Was he even talked about buying the whole thing in general at this point?
Yeah, but it was, Corgan was like, I'm not putting that much into ECW. And then 2 years ago, I guess it's been about 2 years now almost, he was talking about buying TNA. Mm-hmm. And that never came around. But what Corgan said is, saying I'm humbled and honored by this opportunity to be a part of TNA, a world-class wrestling organization, is an understatement and a dream come true. He said, the entire TNA organization stands in full support of my music life with the Smashing Pumpkins. Uh-huh. His new role includes developing characters and creating storylines, as well as finding and developing new talent and working eye-to-eye with the best of the best. He also said that as cultures currently evolve at great speed, so much pro wrestling meet and supersede the expectations to thrive. Now, some of the stuff that he said had to do with gender roles being different, mm-hmm. Race roles being not be about race, not about gender. BC talked about this on The Rant last week instead of Double A, so I don't want to really repeat stuff that too many people have already heard.
Right.
But how do you think of a more life-based view, a more cultural, the current climate kind of thing of reality?
What are you talking about?
With that added, with him adding that to TNA, no sexual barriers or...
So
I'm still kind of confused on that.
Sexual barriers, like
you could have a gay character.
That's cool.
He's talking about a gay character.
That's awesome.
A transgender character.
That's awesome.
Stuff like that.
Why not?
That's the things he's going to explore. And BC was kind of weird about it, but he said it would still work.
I mean, like, I can see how it would be a problem with certain people considering that this sport is supposed to be, like, super manly and, like, whatever. But, like, honestly, if you're not man enough to be comfortable with your own sexuality to be offended by the way someone else is, like, their identity or their sexuality is, then you're obviously a little too insecure with yourself. So, yeah.
Well, let's be real. We are watching muscular men in tights grabbing each other for 3 hours on Monday. It's not, so we should be comfortable enough in our own sexuality
right
to be open to those things. But he also, he had, I thought he opened Resistance Pro, because I know someone who went to a few of their shows. He was working for, he founded Resistance Pro in 2011 in Chicago, and he was linked to ECW, and Paul Heyman proposed that he purchase 10% of the company, but Heyman was asking too much. That was according to Billy Corgan, that Heyman. I remember the ECW, there was ECW a couple of house shows where Billy Corgan just came out of nowhere. There was one where, you know how frail and scrawny and he is? Corgan's so frail and skinny. He did a move where he hit somebody with a chair, and it was so, like, the crowd went nuts because it was Billy Corgan attacking an ECW wrestler. But it just looks so, he's like 6 foot tall, like 108 pounds. He's like a toothpick. Worse than me.
You are such a toothpick.
But he left Resistance Pro after his involvement with AMC Television. They were set to produce an unscripted show about Resistance Pro, but the show was canceled before it even got a chance to get off the ground. So, because AMC is working on eliminating most of its scripted or reality programming because it's found more success with the Breaking Bad, Walking Dead type of shows.
So wait, it's moving to AMC now?
It's still on Stupid Destination America.
Oh, okay.
Resistance Pro, which was his Chicago promotion, was going to have a reality show following it, but AMC pulled the plug on it after they had already taped 5 episodes.
Why? Is it just not like it, or
AMC AMC wants to focus on more series-type shows, because that's where their success has been with Breaking Bad, Walking Dead.
Like so many of the other
Did I just say Breaking Bad, Walking Dead?
Yeah. But it's a good thing, though, because, like, not everybody needs all that. Like, you don't need, like, fucking another MTV, which should just be changed to RTV and just call it reality television and stop pretending like you have anything to do with music.
Yeah,
or, like, they should just change it to, like, media TV, because that's all it is. It's just media.
That even makes more sense. Yeah, makes a lot more sense.
So, yeah.
So, that's... But, yeah, Corgan will be participating in a media conference. This already happened, I think, where he talked about, some of the things that are going on. I don't know how much more I really want to talk about this part of it. He said, he says, this is another quote. He says, if you wander towards a wrestling ring and see a homosexual wrestling character, chances are you're encountering a 30-year-old stereotype. He said the format can be of the now. Instead of the people who got their head stuck up their ass or on a phone, shit-talking. I don't know. But I just hope this works out for the best, because Corgan's a really creative dude. And so, yeah. And TNA should get better.
Hopefully.
But I'm not going to be able to...
So are you going to check it out, or like attempt to check it out?
See, I'm probably going to watch it tomorrow, because he's supposed to appear on... He's going to appear on it. They ran out of TV tapings.
Really?
So tomorrow they're going to have to do a live show. And Billy Corgan already said he's going to be on it, so I probably will be watching just out of curiosity for that.
Right.
But that's pretty much it.
Interesting.
And other TNA news, TNA Slammiversary is coming up soon. I don't know why I don't have the exact date or venue in my notes. I thought I did. But it will be on pay-per-view. TNA is finally coming back to pay-per-view. Woohoo. It will be on regular pay-per-view as well as iPay-per-view, and it will also be airing on the Flips app, the same service that Global Force presented New Japan's Wrestle Kingdom from. The Flips app, the same app that every single person who used had a problem viewing the New Japan pay-per-view with. So why the hell would they go? That's a law. That's a money loss.
For real.
And talk about Dixie doesn't know what to do with her money. And as many people have also heard, we have an injury. Jeff Hardy will undergo surgery after a dirt bike riding injury. Out of all the crazy shit he does in the ring. And I find this so ironic. This is a legit injury. He fell, he did a jump, and broke his tibia.
Oh, my God.
Off a motorcycle jump in his backyard.
Ouch.
Or a dirt bike jump. And I think it's funny that Matt Hardy was recording the video.
Oh, my God. So there's a video of it?
So Matt Hardy's always playing second fiddle to Jeff. Jeff's on... Well, I don't know. Where would you rather wrestle, TNA or Wildcat?
Wildcat.
Yeah. Wildcat seems like more fun.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, so there's no timetable for Hardy's return, which is kind of shitty since he is one of the top stars that TNA has. I was going to play the audio from the video, but what's the point? Okay, yesterday, finally, we had the unveiling of Global Force's first roster members. It was held May 6th in Las Vegas at the Orleans Arena and Casino. Well, Casino and Arena, I don't know how this works. I just know ROH had a pay-per-view there. Chael Sonnen, the very controversial UFC fighter, the same one who said that the Nogueira brothers, when they came in from Brazil, thought a bus was a giant animal and tried to feed it carrots. Chael Sonnen is wacky and has great personality and mic skills. He's going to be involved, apparently, as an announcer. Blessings to you.
Thank you.
I think that might be the first on-air sneeze for the Rexplex.
Woo! Sorry, I've been a bit sneezy lately.
It's cool. Take that with a gram of cocaine. Or is it a grain? We have slowly but steadily been building towards this day, said Jeff Jarrett. The feedback I have received in my international travels has been off the charts. Fans are ready for the reveal of the entire Global Force roster. So here's six or seven people. So they first, a couple of weeks ago, announced the first member of their roster. And that member turned out to be a lighting crew. They announced they will have a lighting crew for those that worry that they might wrestle in an all-dark arena in Las Vegas.
Wow.
Hoping table. That was sarcasm. The funny thing about this, I'm sarcastic like at least 25% of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the people who listen to it think I'm completely serious because the tone of my voice
probably so.
Doesn't change one bit whatsoever. So, looks like we've got the first couple of people who are announced. Fans will be able to see stars like the Bullet Club tag team of Machine Gun Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows, the Killer Elite Squad, a team of Lance Hoyt and Davey Boy Smith Jr. So it looks like they just took the two former tag team champions from New Japan. But these are two good teams. Also, Chris the Adonis Mordetsky, formerly known as Chris Masters, who had a crazy match with Buku Dao a couple years ago. South African sensation PJ Black, who is a former NFL offensive lineman. Oh, wait, no, PJ Black, who was formerly known as Justin Gabriel. And, oh my goodness, why did I get rid of this? Did I get rid of this?
I don't know, did you?
I don't know.
What did we get rid of?
No, I can't get rid of that. And two women, Lady Tapa and Thea Trinidad, as well as one other announcement for their other superstar. It will be... That's right, Moose will be a part of Global Force Wrestling. At the press conference, outspoken MMA star and ESPN broadcaster Chael Sonnen announced his role as an expert analyst for Global Force Wrestling. The GFW Las Vegas TV tapings will take place on Friday, July 24th, Friday, August 21st, and Friday, October 23rd. Tickets for all three events will go on sale on Friday, May 15th at noon, and I'm not promoting you anymore. Go find it if you want to go, if you're in Las Vegas. So that is some Global Force news. That is the TNA news. There's not too much independent news. I'm not sure if I should move on to the indie news or just run through Raw. Or we could take our first break if you'd like to do that.
That feels good.
I'm not sure. Well, I didn't expect to run through the Global Force news so quickly in the, shit, let me just knock any news out of the way. We'll take a quick break and see if we can get my boy on the line for the Raw breakdown of a Raw that, you might be surprised the way I normally, talk about a Raw. People who like blood and guts, CZW will present the Tournament of Death 14 at the Ultraviolent Underground on Saturday, June 13th at 2 p.m. Announced combatants for the 14th annual Tournament of Death are the CZW owner DJ High, the Wretch Connor Claxton, Josh Crane, Ricky Shane Page, Bulldozer Matt Tremont, and Ron Mathis. More information coming soon. This is for fans of not necessarily, I mean, you might be a technical wrestling fan and like this shit too, but this is pretty much the most brutal event, one of the most brutal events in the events that goes on. It's usually in somebody's back, it's usually, I think it's in DJ Hyde's mom's backyard, or usually in between bars, this a bar in the middle of a field. There's a lot of beer and blood and guts, and one year, a guy who actually recently returned, Nick fucking Gage, recently returned to CZW. He once completely slit his entire side open.
You were going to say throat, and I was going to be like, what?
He completed, and almost died from blood loss in the finals a couple years ago. It was disgusting. And, okay, Ring of Honor presents Death Before Dishonor on Friday, July 14th, 2015, live on Internet Pay-Per-View from the William J. Myers Pavilion in Baltimore, Maryland. They'll also be presenting the Aftershock Tour, which starts on July 25th at the William J. Myers Pavilion. Tickets go on sale at ROHWrestling.com. There are no matches currently announced. Just be Baltimore, Maryland, bell time, 8 p.m., doors open at 7. And for about almost a little bit, just a week and a day away, Wildcat Sports is heating up at J.D. Miser Middle on Saturday night, May 16th. Match lineups already announced include the Wildcat Heavyweight Champion Shane Taylor taking on one half of Harlem Heat Stevie Ray. Stevie Ray will be coming out of his retirement to take on the champion in his first singles match in over 10 years. Luke Hawks will be taking on Socorro. This will be teacher versus student after Socorro had turned on Luke Hawks. And Luke Hawks had a great line against Socorro where Socorro said, "I learned everything I know from you, and I know what you can do. I've learned it all. So I'm going to be the one who can take you out." And what Luke said in response to that was, "I may have taught you everything you know, Socorro, but I haven't taught you everything I know." Can I get a... Oh! Also, Stevie Richards will make his return to Wildcat. I think this will be the fourth time Stevie Richards has wrestled at a Wildcat show. As well as former WWE and TNA stars Jay Bradley and Lance Hoyt. As well as all of your Wildcat favorites like Buku Dao, the Revolution Champion, Bestia Say, Jay Spade, Danny Flamingo, Katie Forbes, Amaya Jade, and many more. Tickets start at $10. Get your tickets at wildcatsports.com. Doors open at 6 p.m. Bell time is for 7. This looks to be a kick-ass show with a lot of big names on it. It's going to be pretty damn awesome. Everyone check out Wildcat Sports online and make sure you support indie wrestling because it is great and it is kind of a backbone for us. If you don't have the indie stars, you don't have guys learning on the indies, then the experience needed to entertain the people who only watch WWE would not even exist. So support your indie. If you got a local indie, go check it out even if it's shitty. With that, we will take our first break and be right back with much more of the Rexplex. Oh, Introducing Bucci, Vinny Bucci, Bucci, Vinny Bucci. Lay it down, I think he knows everything when it comes to what goes down inside the ring. We got Bucci, Vinny Bucci. He knows every single thing when it comes to the ring. What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Rexplex. I am joined today, well, right now, at this moment, by Vinny Bucci. What's up, man?
Rex, I'm doing fantastic, bro.
Thanks for being back on the show. It's great to have you.
Excited to be back.
All right, so pretty much the main thing I wanted to talk to you about was this Monday's Raw.
Yep.
So, we can get into it. Do you have notes in front of you? The show opened up with Randy Orton coming out. What did you think about his? It was in Montreal. What did you think about the reaction from the crowd? Because I've heard mixed opinions.
I definitely have. You mean on this segment or the overall show?
Oh, just when he first came out.
It was interesting. I could tell the crowd definitely loves Randy Orton.
Yeah, I noticed. Yeah, that's how I felt too.
I thought it was great. I thought it was great for Orton, seeing as how he's supposed to kind of he's kind of playing an anti-hero, and I think that crowd loved that. That's why they really got into. They were heavily into Randy Orton.
Yeah, and then we had Roman Reigns come out.
Randy basically was talking about, you know, he's going to get payback in 2 weeks on Seth Rollins, and then eventually Roman Reigns came out, and they're basically talking about the fact that the WWE app saying that it will now be a triple threat match.
Yes.
And both men are basically saying that they both really want payback on Seth Rollins, but have no problem beating the hell out of each other to do it.
Yeah, did that annoy you how they went to that old routine of saying, I'm going to get payback at payback?
Yeah.
I kind of expected that.
I just felt like, the more they repeated it, the more irritating it got.
Yeah, I could have dealt with maybe Orton, or not, yeah, with maybe Orton, or, yeah, Orton saying it once. Or someone, or Reigns saying it once, but not everyone saying it multiple times.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, after a while, it's really boring and frustrating, and it just pisses off everybody, and it got boring. The only thing that made it, actually, what made it remotely interesting was what happened after they were done talking.
And let's get into that, because, oh man, did over the course of a month, in my opinion, change to a complete 180 on these three dudes. Oh man.
Yes, the New Day.
Wow, the subtleties of this. This was probably them. They were probably my favorite part besides some of the matches of the whole show.
Absolutely. These guys, in my opinion, the New Day came into their own as heels in this segment. And I learned two things. One, the New Day is much better as heels than they ever were as baby faces.
Yes, very true. Baby faces, it was just confusing.
Yes. Well, it wasn't really that it was confusing. It was the fact that the fans weren't getting into it.
Not one bit, yeah.
Yeah. They had a great gimmick even when they were faces. It's just that when the fans started chanting New Day sucks, which I definitely want to talk about that because I learned something in that first segment, is that, like, they're coming out, they're doing the clap, the fans are trying to cheer New Day sucks.
Yeah.
But I learned that, and I'm probably going to get a lot of heat from your fans for saying this, but Canadians have no rhythm. I learned that from this segment. They're trying to do the New Day sucks, and they're like, half the crowd, they're not in unison. There was no unity. There was no rhythm. It's like you're better off just waiting until the class to say New Day sucks, because they're trapped, they couldn't get it done.
Yeah, there was, when they were trying to do it to the song, especially, it was really off.
It was so off, like, it's like, you're embarrassing yourselves more than your attempt to embarrass them. It was just horrible.
Yeah, and I like when they were talking, and I forgot, it was when Kofi's subtlety, I thought I would never see that out of him, that this awesome heel subtlety, because he goes, they said, New Day, and the crowd went, sucks, and he turned his head like, huh, what? Like he was shocked. Like, it was awesome. That was such a small, minute thing. But the way that Kofi turned his head, like, it caught him off guard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was awesome.
Yeah, and then, of course, after that, they eventually, what made it great was the fact that they were still talking, they made everything rhyme, like, they had the chemistry between the three of them.
Yeah, their chemistry was awesome, man. It was great. And, just... I forgot what they said. It was like, you can't ever, not ever, not ever, not ever. It's like when they were going back and forth. Like, I felt like some of that was definitely just completely improvised right there.
I think so, yeah.
Especially some of those little slight mannerisms and just the little subtleties. They did awesome. And so we got the match. It was a handicap match.
Yes, 3-on-2, the New Day versus Roman Reigns and Orton.
Which Booker T could not seem to understand. And I'm like, doesn't he know Michael Hayes? How he kept saying, this isn't a handicap match, it's a Freebirds rules match. But a Freebirds rules match is when you have a three-man group and you defend the tag team titles, and any two of those three men can defend the titles. This was a handicap match.
Yeah, I think Booker T was way off on that. Somebody needed to remind him what the Freebird rules was about.
Yeah, he was around during the time when, with some of those guys in WCW.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael Hayes is backstage. But yeah, Booker T's been getting a lot of shit. I feel bad for him, just knowing the guy personally. He means well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I think some of the crap he gets is not deserved at all.
Especially last week.
Yeah. Like, the thing is, I wouldn't have even, I'll be honest, I didn't even notice that there was controversy until they put it on the internet.
Me too. I didn't even think about it during the match.
Like, I didn't. Like, when he said, like, when he said Owen didn't defy gravity, I literally did not even think about him falling.
Neither did I. I was like, oh yeah, Owen did like a lot of cross bodies and drop kicks and stuff, but he never took it as far to do twisting planchas and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, that's what he said. Like, he just wasn't a high flyer. And
yeah.
They were playing off the fact that Adrian Neville was supposed to be the man that gravity forgot. So
yeah, that's his name.
It's the crazy anal retentive fan that really sent that into orbit.
Yeah, it feels like it was some people on the internet looking to start shit.
And when are they not?
Yeah, good point. And so this match, the finish. How did the finish go down exactly?
Randy Orton was going to hit an RKO on
yes.
Xavier Woods. But Kofi jumped.
Kofi moved.
So the RKO on him. And then after that, Reigns went for a spear, but Xavier jumped out of the way. He hit Randy Orton. Xavier pinned Orton.
Or did Kofi pin Orton?
Jason?
No, wait, no. You're right.
Yeah, Xavier got the pin, and the New Day wins the handicap match.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It was. It was a great moment for the New Day. It establishes them more as heels. They get taken more seriously as a tag team, which is what you need in a tag team division. So, and it set up the main event for later on the night.
Yes, which would be a one-on-one match between Reigns and Orton.
Yeah.
The reason I liked this a lot was because last month they had a similar situation where the tag team champions lost in a handicap match, where Cesaro and Kidd lost to Orton.
Yeah.
And that really sucked. That's, you should never do that. And I was worried they were going to have a repeat of that.
I did too.
But luckily they did.
You can't do that. You can't do that with the New Day.
No, no. And I love the way that how this turned out.
I did too. I totally agree. It was very, like I said, the segment was very well done. And what I like, and the fact that Kane put those two in a match shows, as you see throughout the night, the conflict within Kane.
Yeah, there's all kinds of types of internal conflict going on with Kane throughout the whole night.
Yeah, it's like he's not quite a good guy or a bad guy. It's more like he's still listening to the authority, but Seth is still a massive pain in his ass.
Yeah, exactly. He's dealing with Seth.
Yeah, he's pretty much like he's doing what Triple H would want him to do in this situation, but he's clearly sick of Seth.
So do you think do we see a turn coming soon?
Very soon. Yeah. I've said it before. I'm predicting either Kane or Seth Rollins is getting kicked out of the authority.
Yeah, you think they're trying to make
none of them are getting kicked out. It's gonna either they're all gonna get together and say we're done with Seth's too arrogant, kick him out, or they're gonna say Kane's not on board and he gets kicked out, or he just walks away.
Or I could see him just walking away, just saying I've had enough of this.
Yeah.
What was the next segment following that match?
We saw Kane, the New Day, and basically backstage.
Okay, this is the part. Okay. I didn't know if we went right to this. I loved this part when Kane was walking backstage and he completely ignored the New Day and they're like, "Yo, Kane, we did it. We did it, Kane! Kane, you saw it? We told you! We told you, Kane! We did it! Come on! Hey, Kane!" And like, he just walked right by and walked up to Rollins. Like, he's like, "I don't have time for this shit."
I love that. He's like, yeah, you won. I kind of had a feeling you would. But he just walked in, like, I don't care.
Alright, so, yeah, that's all I had to say about that part.
Well, and what was awesome was, and then, of course, after that, you know, Seth and Kane get into another bickering fight.
Yeah.
And, you know, Boris actually says that he loves the fact what he did to Orton and Reigns, and says that he basically threatened by saying that eventually the authority is coming back, and when they do, they're going to punish Kane. So yeah. Kane decides, all right, well, I guess if I'm getting punished, I might as well keep going, and he
started talking about adding.
He didn't say those words.
Oh, wait, that wasn't until later. Keep going, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Well, the thing was that he basically books the match Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose.
Yes.
With J&J banned from ringside. So Rollins is flipping out, he's complaining, and then Kane pretty much says, "If you don't shut up and walk away right now, I'm going to make you." He said, "You have an arm tied behind your back, or your ankles tied together." Like, basically, don't say another word if you don't want another crazy stipulation added to this match.
Yeah.
And he walked away. And Kane just walked away pissed. It was awesome.
Had they added the stipulation about Ambrose entering the title match yet, if he won?
That happened later.
Okay.
Like, before the match started.
Okay.
So kind of walked away. Because basically what happened next is we got Ryback and Wyatt.
Yeah, that was... I don't know how to feel about Ryback. I wish Ryback... We have enough positivity for a face team. We don't need to... He doesn't need to bring up Rhonda Byrne's book ever again.
Buddha, whose book?
The Secret. He doesn't need to bring that up anymore.
I don't think so either.
Just be the hungry guy. And he said he eats positivity. No, he eats negativity and digests that and shits positivity.
Well, he said he turns it into...
I know what he... I mean, but he was close. It was close enough.
Exactly. And I didn't even know that was from The Secret, but I think in a way it kind of works because he is the guy he's known for, like, beating me more. So the fact that he says I eat negativity.
Yeah, it makes sense. That actually does make sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, and then he's like turning it into positive. I think the part that I didn't like was when he has to talk about fighting for the WWE universe. I think John Cena's already got that department covered.
Yeah, that's John Cena's area.
That was the part we didn't need to hear. But then, I love the fact that he had the Goldberg chant. He addressed them.
That was great. That was great.
Yes.
When he goes, I love you guys. Or so he said something like that. And he goes, you know, if I don't address it, they're just going to keep doing it. And they were chanting Goldberg, and he said that. And then they immediately jumped on his balls and were like, feed me more, feed me more.
It's amazing how you can pull that off. And then he said, like, you know, and then he leads the crowd and feed me more chant when he's done. You know, he tells them that he's done talking, it's feeding time, which I love when he does that.
Yeah.
And then that's when Wyatt comes in and, you know, does his promos, which I don't have to say it, Bray. I have yet to see Bray cut a bad promo.
Yeah, I've never seen him. Even when he's not, you're not even sure who it's directed at. And I think they know that when they don't even have a program set up for him. Just because he can deliver anything so well. And I know you're going to be afraid, friend. The way he's called him friend. I don't know if he said man during this promo, but I like when he says man, too. Cause
yeah. I like it when he says man because it reminds me a lot of, that's when he has a little bit of Jake the Snake in him.
Yeah, yeah, he definitely has that coldness that Jake the Snake had.
Yeah, because
that's really cool.
That wasn't even a gimmick. That's literally how he talks.
Yeah, I know that's how Jake talks.
I've talked to Jake before. He always says, man, especially when he's passionate about something.
Yeah.
So that's just, like, amazing. It's amazing. So when he says, man, like, every time Bray Wyatt says, man, it's like, wow, I sense a little bit of Jake in it. But when he's his friend, I like that a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more original, and it gives Bray his own thing.
And he said, run, and went to commercial? Is that what happened?
Well, after his promo, they cut the commercial. He pretty much told them that he said that Bray Wyatt has painted himself an indestructible force, but I see you as a scared little boy, and he's going to make him fade away. And then he does the whole run, and then they disappear.
Yeah, I just completely jumped over the second half of that promo.
I have a couple notes in front of me. That's how I remembered most of it.
Yeah.
Like I said, I spent the whole day today watching Raw for this, so I thought I had to get mentally prepared. And then, of course, after that, there was Tyson Kidd and Cesaro versus The Ascension.
This was interesting. The uppercut spot. The place went nuts. And I believe it was Victor who took it?
Yes, it was Victor.
He finally got some more cardio in. Because, man, he was all over the place, back and forth. That's a really cool spot. Cesaro used to do that a while ago. And I like the finish they used. That's an old Kings of Wrestling finisher when Cesaro was teaming with Chris Hero. Well, that was one of their signature moves. Do you have any what were your notes on that match?
I thought obviously it was a great tag team match. I felt like, you know, obviously it's a good build for Tyson Kidd and Cesaro, but I failed to see what it does, what kind of benefit it brings to the Ascension. I kind of felt like Tyson and Cesaro just walked all over these guys.
I didn't think
it was a good enough fight. Like, it's like the Ascension are becoming the jobber tag team now.
I was going to say, do you think the Ascension should just be full-blown mockery comedy characters? Is that what they're headed towards? Because it looks like that.
I don't really know about that.
Or just straight-up jobbers.
I mean, it's not really the gimmick that bothers me. It's the fact that they had this dominant streak, and then ever since they lost to the primetime players, they've just been getting the crap beat out of them every week.
Yeah.
Like, do you guys, like, are they all of a sudden just giving up on the Ascension? Or is the Ascension not as good as we thought they were when they were in NXT? Like, those are the mixed feelings I gotta have there.
And they were able to get... I'm not sure if I'm correct on this, but... did they defeat Corey Graves and Sami Zayn? Or Corey Graves and Adrian Neville? I think they defeated Corey Graves and Adrian Neville for the titles. I might be wrong.
I don't know either. I didn't know that Corey Graves and Neville were a team.
Well, something happened to Neville's original partner. I believe it might have been Aiden English, or... I forgot who his original partner was. And so he ended up recruiting Corey Graves to team with him. If you didn't see that ESPN special, that was really good.
Okay. It must have been before I started watching NXT.
Oh, it was a while ago. It was when they had the tag team title tournament to crown the first tag team champions.
Okay. Because right around the time that I started watching was like Corey Graves was slowly starting to go into, you know, becoming a commentator after the major concussion that he was getting.
This was a little while before that. This was when, I think this was the person who's now Bram in TNA was part of the Ascension at this point in time still, I believe. He was Kenneth Cameron.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, lost track. Let's get back.
That's quite all right. I felt like for Tyson Kidd and Cesaro, it was a great push for that. But I feel like they're not. It's like my question is, what's the future going to be for the Ascension? Are they ever going to be take? Are they going to be taken to the tag team? Are they ever going to get a tag team? Are they ever going to have a reign as WWE tag team champions, or are they just going to straight up kick these guys to the curb and make them just jobbers, like Los Matadores used to be?
I don't know. I'm worried. I'm worried about the Ascension.
I am too, because. Yeah, because I like the Ascension. I think they're a really great team.
They just need to do the right thing with them. Do something, find something right for them. But it just doesn't look too good for them right now.
Yeah. I'm not saying they have to win every match, but don't, like,
yeah, of course not.
Roll over them the way Cesaro did.
All right. What was... anything else to add to that?
That was all I had to say.
Okay, yeah, that's all I had to say. I like the swing into the drop kick.
That was the finish right there.
Yeah.
Cesaro and Kid celebrating, and then of course after that, Renee Young catches up with Seth Rollins about probably having to face Ambrose. And there's no point to have this match, and Kane is a moron.
Yeah, I don't really have anything else to say about that except that Renee Young did this little giggle right when she said Ambrose. Which is like, oh, come on. She's like Dean Ambrose, because I'm going to sleep in bed with him tonight. You don't know.
That's really what she's thinking.
Yeah, that's all I took away from that.
That's all I'm saying. If a girl mentions her boyfriend or husband's name and starts giggling, that means she likes the Dean.
Yep.
That's exactly what that means. I mean, all I'm thinking is, I'm going to get the D later.
She's like, he's going to wrestle you in front of thousands of people, but he's going to wrestle me in front of no one later. Renee Young and Dean Ambrose.
Oh, they're a thing.
Yeah, did anything else? What else? What was next?
That segment, no, but it does lead into what happens next. Next is Ambrose versus Rollins.
Oh, man.
And right at the beginning of the match, when Kane announces that if Dean Ambrose can win this match, he'll be added to the main event and make it a fatal four-way, mostly because he heard what Seth Rollins had to say, and he says, I agree, there is no point in this match. so let's make it a motivator.
Yeah.
Again, Seth Rollins opened his mouth and...
And Kane, yep.
And Kane laid down the law.
Yeah, all tying back in. So yeah, it has a lot to do with who's the ascension side, whose side is the authority. Still stuck on that last one. Whose side is the authority going to take when they return?
That's
kind of goes back to the whole turn thing we talked about.
Yeah, I know that Triple H is kind of looking at both points of view.
Yeah.
I mean, Triple H is the one that's trying to tell Kane, because he said Kane always does
what's best for business. Yep.
And the big dilemma Triple H has is that he Triple H can sense that Seth Rollins is getting spoiled, and he's not liking it. On the other hand, he's still trying to convince Kane, you're not the devil's favorite demon anymore.
Man, this match with Rollins and Ambrose was hard hitting. Had so many cool reversal spots. Let's see. Well, some of the I like the. I've never seen it done in WWE. Did they do a or was that? Well, definitely the buckle bomb, but it wasn't a buckle bomb. It was a barricade bomb. Protective wall, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
That was towards the end, but this whole match was exciting.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was, everybody was on the edge of their seats, crowd was chanting, this is awesome. I mean, there were times
there were two holy shit chants during this match.
There was a holy shit at one point. That was when Rollins, he was talking about
Rollins
powerbomb Ambrose into the barricade.
Yeah, into the barricade. That was a really sick spot.
Yes, it was very.
Also, the variation where Ambrose spun around on the outside and hit the rebound clothesline, but like in a completely different way.
Yes, that he did.
Yeah, that was really cool too. And the finish. I'll let you break down the. I really like this sequence. I thought it was really cool.
Well, absolutely. Basically, Rollins rolls back in the ring, lets directly count. He's content to have Ambrose count it out, so he's not added to payback main event. But Ambrose barely manages to roll in at 9.5. He had to run into it. Rollins, who thought he had won, starts stomping Ambrose in the corner. Ambrose flushes Rollins in the corner and then blasts him in the center of the ring. Ambrose picks Rollins up for his finisher, but JJ security hits the ring. In the confusion, Ambrose rolls Rollins up, 1, 2, 3, and Dean Ambrose wins the match, and it's now a fatal four-way at Payback.
Hell yeah. This was awesome. I really enjoyed this. I really liked the finishing sequence with the confusion and the reversals and J&J getting trying to attempt to help but only hurting, and Ambrose advancing because, I mean, we're making it a fatal four-way. Because I don't think the crowd really thought that was going to happen. I didn't think that was going to happen. I definitely didn't.
Yeah. I don't think anyone expected that moment to take place. I don't think anybody truly thought that Dean Ambrose was going to go to Payback. Because everybody was predicting and expecting the Triple Threat match.
Yeah. That's what, yeah, I thought it was just going to stay like that.
I did too. So when it turns out Dean Ambrose was added, it was a game changer.
Yeah, it was refreshing.
It made everybody wonder, like, what's going to happen next.
I just have a feeling Ambrose is going to be the one to take the fall.
Yeah, I think it's going to make the match a lot more interesting now that it's a fatal four-way.
I agree.
But I don't see Ambrose walking out with the championship.
Oh, no, I think he's going to be the one to get pinned in the match. That way, Orton and Reigns are still protected.
Yeah. And I think that Rollins, I still think Seth is walking out champion.
Yeah, I agree with that too, as well.
Don't want it to happen, but I see it happening.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I see it as well.
And then, of course, right after that, them. They go to commercial. They come back. Seth Rollins and J&J Security are now screaming at Kane because Seth is pissed that the main event is about to be a fatal four-way. It's going to be a fatal four-way payback. And Kane gets it on and warns him that he can keep adding people to the match.
Yeah, this...
He threatens to make it like a nine-man match.
That's... I'm just imagining a nine-way for the title.
Yes. And he tells him that he's doing this to challenge him and make him a better champion. He says,
yeah.
Don't worry, he's got a plan.
So what's that alluding to?
Very, very, very good question.
Yeah.
That, unfortunately, we'll probably have to wait till... I think later on in the night or next week on Raw,
yep.
might have the plan.
Okay, what was next on?
Byron Saxon's backstage with Lana. This was a fun thing. Lana basically the fans.
This was hilarious. Lana's her sheepishness, I guess you would say. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes. And then Fandango,
of course,
comes
out
and tells us.
He says like this. He says, "Why so coy?" That's all I remember. That was the first thing he said. He just walked in. He said, "Hey, why so coy? Embrace the euphoria of the universe." I almost turned into Wyatt.
I don't know, it's like he sounded like Wyatt, but he's trying to hit on Lana.
Yeah, he's hitting on her, and he's being very creepy about it.
Yeah, like, dude, like, just talk normal, bro. And then, of course, after he walks away, Rusev is, like, yelling, and it does a little yelling and Russian thing, and it leads to a one-on-one match. Rusev versus Fandango.
And that was next. Was that next, or is there anything? Yeah, okay. And of course, we for Rusev's entrance, they're playing it up, and it was huge this night, the pop for Lana. Rusev came out, then Lana came out following, and they went nuts for her. With Rusev versus Fandango. Lana started fandangoing on the outside, and Rusev was furious and told her to go backstage.
Yes.
And Rusev ended up getting the win with the accolade. Is that pretty much all there is to it?
Yeah, pretty much it was a squash match, but the highlight was seeing Fandango and Lana doing the fandangoing before Rusev kicked it to the back.
Wasn't that adorable?
It was. Oh, it really was.
I thought it was adorable seeing her fandangoing.
Yes. And like I said, it's nice to see Fandango actually doing it now.
Yeah.
It's like, that's the thing that's been irritating me about Fandango for a long time.
Yeah, he's never done his own thing.
The only way to get the crowd into it is you have to do it yourself.
Yeah, it's like a reverse of what I said about Daniel Bryan, about how the crowd got into the Yes chant because he kept doing it himself over and over and over for so long, and it got to a point where he didn't need to do it, and he could have came down to the ring really serious at some points, and the crowd would still be yesing. I guess that did kind of eventually happen, but it took a while. But yeah, Fandango has never actually done his own thing along with the audience. It was already over with. And did he even do it when they were in London, or did he just dance normally on the table?
I think he actually went out there and he did it.
Yeah, that's I thought that was the first time.
Daniel rarely ever does he not do the yes chant.
Yeah.
Especially when it's like when he's in a serious moment, he's got to put on the serious face.
Yeah.
Then he won't do it. But most of the time, when he's out there, he's doing it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was saying. It's like a reverse of that But, yeah, it makes sense the way Brian does it. I think I agree with you that it makes sense that Fandango should embrace that.
It should, because it's...
It would carry with the fans more.
Yeah, because Fandango is not... Fandango, it's over, but it's not over to the point where he can't not do it.
Yeah.
He's still got to put that extra effort in.
So, let me see how much time I have on here. Okay, yeah, we have to run through it kind of quick.
Okay, then I guess I'll...
No, let's just jump right to the next thing.
Okay, R-Truth versus Stardust.
R-Truth came out doing... I mean, Stardust came out with Byron Wilcott's Big Daddy Yum Yums kind of thing. His thing is What's in the Box. And Stardust had a bag with him, and it was kind of a what's-in-the-bag scenario. There turned out to be plastic spiders.
Plastic spiders.
Plastic spiders in the bag, because R-Truth hates spiders. And since he didn't win King of the Ring, he didn't get to ban all spiders.
Exactly.
Fake or real.
And so...
He had the great comment from JBL. How do you know those were plastic spiders? They could have been rubber, Michael.
I literally was like, really, dude?
Yeah, that was such a dumb... There's a lot of dumb little comments like that. Oh, and JBL was having some trouble speaking properly during this. He said, he called Cesaro and Kid. He said, what an impressive victory for Tyson and Kid. He said, and there was like three where he slipped up horribly like that.
Yeah, I know. JBL was not on top of his game, which is not good when you're the interrupting announcer.
He also said something. He's like, what is going to happen when they add Seth Ambrose to the, or something like that? And I was like, gee, you're messing up. Like, that's big time. When he calls somebody,
dude,
he said Seth Ambrose or Dean Rollins or something. I'm pretty sure he said Seth Ambrose at one point.
Yeah. It was not good.
But what was good was, wait, was that next?
No, none of that was next.
Okay. What was next? After following...
Following that was John Cena.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. How would you... Okay, I'll let you lay it out, and then we can talk about how we felt about this.
Basically, John comes out, and, you know, at first, it's hard for him to get the words in, because they're doing the John Cena stuff, singing, they're doing the Ole crap, and at one point, they're actually chanting Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
Because they heard, so John Cena's basically talking about, you know, how he doesn't quit, he doesn't give up, the way Cena played to the crowd in this was genius.
Oh, the way he was pinpointing, the way he was pinpointing individuals. Even that guy in the pink shirt. I don't know what the name of the team is.
He's like, I don't know either. I guess shirt. He goes, they left in 1996.
Yeah, that, he's like, that guy wearing the Montreal, it wasn't even Montreal, it was a Quebec team. It was a team from Quebec. He's like, with the Quebec, whatever you call it, jersey on. He's like, they left Quebec 8 years ago, but that guy won't give up, just like me. And I was like, man, for some on-the-spot work, that was great.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Cena found a way to cooperate and make his just promo work with the Montreal crowd.
Yeah, Cena did a great job with that, with his promo.
And that just comes from years of experience of being in front of hostile crowds.
Yeah, because he's been getting shit forever.
Unjustly, I might add.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it says the Cena Open Challenge starts now. You want some, get some.
And then, Bret Hart's music plays. Bret Hart runs, storms to the ring, just starts beating the crap out of Cena. The bell rings. Bret puts Cena in the sharpshooter. Cena taps out new United States champion, Bret Hart. Right? Is that what happened? No, Bret actually limps to the ring, kind of.
No,
Bret kind of.
I will. See, people probably wish that would happen.
I was being sarcastic, everyone, because people can't tell when I'm being sarcastic, apparently. That's a lot of feedback. I get.
I somewhat got it. And it was cool, though, because Brett comes out, and he wants to do an introduction for a wrestler who's going to challenge Cena. Out comes Heath Slater.
I like how Heath Slater still has. I like how he still has a three-man band music.
Yes,
and they've been going for almost a year now.
Yeah, I thought they need to change that. But I love Slater's new look. I love his new gimmick. And
yeah, Slater's. I like Slater. I like Slater's.
Fight the U.S. title.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I would love it if he's the guy that took. If he becomes the guy to win the.
That would be great. Yeah, that would be great.
Look at all the crap that he's getting for not being able to fight for it. So he says, I'm not going to get attacked from behind. I'm not going to get
attacked out of nowhere again. I'm tired of getting attacked out of nowhere.
And then Brett just hits him with the microphone. He calls
seamless, seamless comedic timing just with the microphone. I'm tired of getting jumped and beat up out of nowhere. Seamless timing. Brett with the mic hits him. Boom. That was all we saw of Slater, just rolling up the ring.
And then Brett's like, as I was saying...
Yeah, then he says...
Literally. And then he announces Sami Zayn.
Hometown hero from Montreal.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn. We get the, oh, whoa, with ska music. Zayn gets a huge reaction. Now, did you think there was word going around the crowd outside? Because I didn't hear any of this from anyone or anything on the internet about them being aware that Zayn was going to be there, because they were doing Olay chants for several times before this.
Some people got wind that Sami Zayn was in the building.
Yeah, they had.
Probably figured he was going to be. They knew before he came out.
Yeah, definitely.
Care.
Yeah. But Zayn actually injured himself in his entrance.
Yes. I heard about that.
Do you know what you knew? Because there's a lot of mixed reports on it, and a lot of them are wrong. A lot of them say it was a worked injury to add to the story of the match. And some say he was injured in the side suplex. I actually have a clip of it. It was when he threw his arms up in the air when he was standing on the steps. He was so pumped.
He should have stretched before he did that or something.
Yeah.
Pulled some type of muscle or popped something, so he had to get an MRI on his shoulder. But despite the shoulder, he still wrestled the match with John, and it was awesome.
That's what I think. Thank you. It was incredible. It was an unbelievable match. A lot of people are saying, oh, well, if you watch El Generico, this is actually one of his... I've watched so many El Generico matches. I've been watching Sami Zayn for years because I'm a big indie fan. And yeah, all of El Generico's matches pretty much were great, but this is, he's not going to bust out every single crazy thing you would see him do 3 years ago in pro wrestling, or however many years ago in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. They delivered the great spots. The injury added to drama of the match. He kicked out of the AA.
Yes.
He hit the Blue Thunder Bomb. He did the spot where both men are on the outside and he dives in between the bottom and middle rope by the post. But
into the Tornado DDT.
Into the Tornado DDT. But he had to... This is the only time I've ever seen him do this, and I've seen him do this move 100 times. He had to grab onto the turnbuckle for support when diving through the ropes. And I'm pretty sure that that's you can attribute that to the injury.
Yes, I think that was what happened. I think the shoulder injury means he had to do that. But the fact that he was still able to pull it off was amazing.
Oh, yeah, it was so impressive.
The only thing we missed from Sami Zayn was the exploded suplex and the Helluva kick.
Other than that, he
pretty much hit every one of his other major moves.
Yeah, I really wanted to see the Helluva kick.
And I'm actually kind of glad they didn't use those last two moves, because then Cena wouldn't have had to kick out of them.
Yeah, good point. I mean, that's what I. That's kind of how I.
When you get to hit on somebody and they hit that 1-2-3.
Yeah, that's how it should be when it first happens.
Yeah, and then of course when Cena eventually did win, he had to hit the springboard stunner and the AA in order to get the victory.
Yes, the springboard stunner and the AA, and Cena got the win. And Zayn was down in the corner, and Cena picked him up and gave him props and let him get the ovation as Cena rolled out. But Sami Zayn wasn't completely happy with the match. Because he's had... But I'm like, man, you did a great job. That was a great debut.
I think what frustrated him was that he knew if his shoulder wasn't messed up,
yeah,
it would have been much better. Yeah. I think that's just like his ego talking.
Yeah, that's what I think. So, I think as well.
I mean, the fans were. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better debut on Raw for Sami Zayn.
Oh no! In Montreal, taking Cena to pretty much to his limits, kicking out of a move that has put away so many top guys. It's Cena's yes. face. So yeah, that's pretty much about it. But I was really happy to see this match. It was cool. It was really awesome.
Absolutely, it was an amazing match. It delivered on a massive level, and it showed that the U.S. Open Challenge, anything can happen.
Yep. That's why
there was a period of time where we thought for a split second, "Holy crap!" Bret Hart about to answer this challenge.
Yeah, and Cena even looked. I don't know. I don't even know how to describe the look on Cena's face. And Bret Hart didn't look like he was cool with Cena either. It was kind of like, Cena, I got a guy who's going to beat you. I don't know. It was interesting. And it was really, but apparently this isn't necessarily Zayn's step up to the main roster.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Sami's, they were using it as a way to promote NXT TakeOver Unstoppable, which is going to be in a couple of weeks.
Which is much better than what they did with Charlotte months back.
Yes, totally. Totally better.
Okay, what do we have next up?
I believe next up is, we have Bad News Barrett and Sheamus versus Ziggler and Neville.
Now, do you think it's kind of weird that Neville has two nicknames and one actual name? The new sensation, the man that gravity forgot, Neville?
No, it's not uncommon for some wrestlers to have more than one nickname.
And you can't be a new sensation for too long. Oh, The Rock had a billion nicknames. That's...
I mean, everybody has their often had at least two.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Triple H had like three or four. Like, so no.
The Cerebral Assassin. Yeah, very true.
King of Kings. I mean, yeah,
King of Kings.
They all got a variety of nicknames. So, I didn't have a problem with that at all.
So, yeah, this was... I don't remember too many details of this match except the finish.
The finish was...
Springboard inside.
Was flying off the top rope.
Was it off the top... Was he flying off the top rope, or was it a springboard from the outside? And he got caught with the bullhammer.
Yeah, he got caught with the springboard. He got caught with a bullhammer by Barrett.
For the three.
And Barrett and Sheamus were able to pick up the victory, and basically it was, Bad News Barrett still calling himself the King. And
I just don't like King Bad, the name King Bad News.
That's why they're calling him King Barrett.
They referred to him as King Bad News at one point, and it just, King Barrett sounds so much better.
Yeah, well, JBL said, "All hail King Bad News."
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying. King JBL kept flopping all night. I still couldn't believe he called them Tyson and Kidd.
The two were Tyson and Kidd.
I still can't believe he said that.
It was just borderline ridiculous what JBL was doing, and of course the tag team match was somewhat decent. It did a pretty good job. It was supposed to do. And then aside from the segment with this one thing we quickly talk about for the main event was, of course, there was an incident where the Bellas were on their way to the ring and they got attacked by Naomi and
Tamina
Snuka, who came back.
Finally making her return.
Yes.
And do you remember, what did they say exactly about family? I think this was over a lot of people's heads, unless they really thought about it.
Yeah, they were talking about how their sibling reign of dominance is over, this is what family is all about, and Naomi has a completely new look now.
Yeah.
Which is scary. It's like a scary look.
Yes, yeah.
Messed up. And apparently the family thing is the fact that...
Yeah, so you picked up on it, right?
It took me a second.
Okay.
To think about it, but then I realized it.
Yeah.
Because Tamina is part of the... I'm probably not pronouncing that, but I'll do the best I can. Anoa'i family.
That's correct.
And Rikishi are all from.
Yeah.
Well, the Usos are part of that family.
Yep.
And Naomi is married to Jimmy Uso.
Yes. So
they're cousins who are related through marriage.
Yep. Yeah. Not a lot of people made that connection. I don't know if they didn't explain it. They didn't really explain it. They just said it.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I think the next time Naomi speaks, whether it be on SmackDown or Raw, we'll probably figure out what that's all about.
Yeah, that's cool to see Tamina back. Let's see if she's maybe been training with Sara Del Rey and has some more stuff in her arsenal. Maybe she's going to be a little more smooth in the ring. And I was never really never crazy about Tamina. But, I mean, she supports Wildcat Wrestling, which is always cool. So.
Well, of course it's always cool.
Yeah.
I just hope Lisa Naomi finally getting the championship.
Me too, man. How if she didn't get that knee dropped on her from Bye Bye Oksana. I mean it was Oksana who did that, right? Yeah.
I think so.
Oksana dropped that knee and took the title chance, like just took it right from her.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then Oksana was released a couple months later.
For obvious reasons.
Yep.
Yeah, she's not safe in the ring. And then, of course, that leads us to the main event of the night, Roman Reigns versus Randy Orton.
Yeah, this was kind of what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, me too. Obviously it was a good match. I mean, the two were able to, somewhat... You know, have a decent match before the authority would, of course, get involved. And then,
yeah, that's what I expected. I expected a decent, exactly what you said. The authority would eventually get involved. Clearly,
mm-hmm. I think that was Kane's plan, that they were just going to take out these two guys, and then of course Ambrose comes out to help them out because him and Roman, you know, like they're still brothers.
Yeah.
You know, the Shield's not together anymore. So he came out and they basically attacked. They basically took out everybody until eventually, once everybody had cleared the ring, Randy Orton spears Seth Rollins. Orton hits him with an RKO for the spear he gave him earlier in the show.
Yeah.
So Orton was trying to get his revenge.
Yeah, got to get the receipt.
About it, so he hits Orton with Dirty Beat.
Yep, and the show went off the air with Ambrose on top.
Yep.
Which kind of confirms, if you know the booking styles, how what I said earlier, that I think he's going to be the one to take the pin at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I definitely see that happening. I can't think of a reason why it wouldn't.
So, what did you think of this Raw?
Overall, I thought it was... I definitely thought it was, actually I thought it was a great show.
Me too. I was pleasantly surprised. That's
I think the highlight of the night was Cena versus Sami Zayn.
Yeah, I think the Rollins and Ambrose match and Zayn and Cena were the two highlights for me. Along with, of course, the New Day's antics and them fully finding their character.
Yes, and finally starting to utilize it.
And being so damn good at it, too. They were great.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what you need. That's the secret, is that, you know, if you can... It usually takes a while for, you know, good moments like that to happen, for chemistry like that to happen. Like, when you have chemistry, then you got to change it up. You know, it takes a little while, but once you find it, you're off to the races.
All right, yeah, so that's about all we've got to talk about. Let me see if there's a few other things on my mind. Did you hear that Russo lost a... Russo. I was going to talk about Vince Russo, actually. But I was going to say first, did you hear about Rusev losing to Ryback at a house show?
No, I did not know that Rusev lost to Ryback at the house show?
Yes, he did.
Damn.
I don't get it.
Well, I look at it like this.
It wasn't on TV.
It's a house show.
It doesn't count.
So it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Nobody really, to me, because a house show does not dictate what you're going to see on TV. That was probably more for the fans' entertainment. Plus, Ryback is a credible player.
Yeah, definitely.
So, and to have that kind of attitude with, like, Rusev off to Ryback, well, then you can't push any stars if you don't take any of them seriously.
Yeah, I agree. And it's a house show, so, I mean, it makes sense. And also, Sandow debuted a character as Macho Mandow on main event.
Yes, I have heard about, I've definitely heard about this.
So there may be a a Mega Powers spoof with Axel and Sandow with Macho McMandow and Axelmania.
Well,
because the Ascension attacked them.
Well, here's the thing that I got. Is this going to be like a one-on-one?
No, as a team, because they were about to have a match. Curtis Axel and Sandow, and the Ascension interrupted.
Oh, okay. So that's what's going on.
Maybe they are doing something with the Ascension after all.
So what you're saying is the Ascension attacked them, so now it looks like on the house shows, him and Axel teamed up to take you guys on?
I don't know if they have yet, but it kind of looks that way. Like, Axel and Sandow might be Macho Mandow and Curtis Axelmania.
Well, if that's the case, it's definitely something I'm going to look forward to seeing.
It's going
to
be fun. It could suck for Sandow, but it's going to be awesome. It's going to be entertaining no matter what they do.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, everybody's like, oh, it sucks for Sandow. Whoever gets a TV time, you know, it's like...
Yeah, you know what it sucks for? It sucks for Drew Galloway. It sucks for Heidenreich.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody's like, it sucks. You know what sucks? Not being on TV at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Not doing absolutely nothing.
Okay, and on the last note, Vince Russo trashes Sami Zayn. Here is a quote from Russo. Everybody is running to the defense of WWE, claiming that Raw was a great show on Monday night. Why was it great in their opinion? Simply because an NXT wrestler that they all mark out for, Sami Zayn, made his surprise appearance on the WWE's premier show? I can only imagine when Sami got introduced by Bret Hart and came out as a surprise through the Raw entrance. To the IWC, it was the equivalent of Jesus himself showing up unannounced at the Sea of Galilee. But to the casual wrestling fan, nobody cared. To them, this was a jobber and nothing more, so they indeed turned back to hoops. Raw is a television show, and Sami Zayn is not a television star, nor will he be at any time, nor will he be anytime soon. Sammy is an exceptional wrestler on the show, and the only people who care about him are those diehard wrestling fans who are looking for five-star matches that the massive don't give a shit about.
Wow.
What an asshole.
My only answer to that is, Vince has clearly locked his mind.
He's been stealing from something we love since the 90s, the mid-90s, as a scam, as a Jerry Springer writer wannabe, like, and he has the nerve to say Sami Zayn is someone who the masses won't give a shit about.
Here's the thing. I can say this honestly and objectively. I can look at a lot of the guys.
Yeah.
On the NXT roster and say that there are some of those people that if Vince Russo was to say this guy's not a TV star, only diehard wrestling fans would care about him, he'd be 100% right with some of the talent in NXT. I'll be very honest.
Yeah, definitely.
Sami Zayn is not one of them.
No, he's one of the best. He's one of the best wrestlers in the world.
It's not just that. See, that's the thing. When he says diehard wrestling fans care about him, it's because people say, like, he's one of the best wrestlers in the world.
He's likable. He's likable as well, and he can talk.
He's likable, he talks on the mic.
Yeah.
He can speak on the mic. That's what makes him a TV star.
And you wonder why... how can you take this dude seriously when Spike TV got pissed off at TNA for having them on their payroll? I mean, that's kind of what started the beef between Spike TV and TNA, because Spike specifically said, we don't want Vince Russo working for the show.
Yeah, I mean, there's a variety of different crazy issues, and, you know, Vince Russo has admitted that he's not a real big fan of NXT.
Yeah.
He doesn't like it. Like, I've heard him say that, he'll talk about NXT, but only because his fans and listeners want to hear his thoughts on NXT. That's really the only reason he does it, is for the fans. Him personally, he finds no joy in NXT. I know he's a big fan of Lucha Underground. He loves Lucha Underground.
Because he wants to write for Lucha Underground.
Of course he does, because he loves it so much. Like, one of the main suggestions that he gave Lucha Underground, which, I'm not going to lie, is kind of a good idea, even though I've only watched Lucha Underground like two or three times, I don't really follow it, but he said that he thinks Lucha Underground needs more women wrestlers.
Yeah, I can see that.
And apparently, they didn't like that he said. Some people didn't like that he said that.
Well, they have a fair amount of wrestling, not wrestlers, but female talent. But not. Well, they have Ivelisse. They have Sexy Star. I forgot who else. But I mean, there's. I don't think Lucha Underground is gonna take him on. I don't think any promotion is going to work with him.
Well, here's the thing. And I think their fear, the thing about it is that it's not necessarily about whether Russo's ideas would be good or bad. I think it's the fact that he has so much bad publicity, it would turn people off. That's probably why
nobody would
want to hire Russo. The second they find out that, because the second they find out that Russo is writing for a company, they're going to assume everything in that company is shit.
Yeah, everyone's going to shit all over it as soon as they find out that Russo is a part of it.
Or if something bad happens to the company, they're going to go, oh, there's Russo's booking again.
Yeah, you're like, oh, well, that's like in TNA when the constantly, any weird gimmick thing would happen, you'd get fire Russo chance.
Yes. And I know there were times where Dixie Carter would try to say, like, not all those angles Russo developed.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, there's someone, like, I think at one point she tried to accuse Dutch Mantel of writing one of the skits that they claimed to fire Russo Champ for. And Dutch was like, bullshit, I didn't write that. He said, the reason everybody says fire Russo is Vince tries to take credit for everything. So it's like, alright, Vince, you're going to take credit for everything, you're going to take credit for some bullshit that happened.
Yeah, that's understandable. Alright, that's...
And it made sense.
Okay, well, yeah, I'll just finish. You get the last word in, then I'm going to run through the plugs, and you can say whatnot, and we're going to wrap this show up. What was your last thought? You just had a thought, and I stopped you in the middle of it.
Well, it wasn't really necessarily a thought. It was more like I was quoting what Dutch Mantel said, but like okay. I said, like, with Vince Russo... There's two things that can, you know, basically when it comes to Vince Russo, I'm going to say this. There's a lot of ideas he has that are good, there's a lot that are bad. But the big thing about Russo was that, like during the Attitude Era, he had a lot of good ideas.
But he had people to handpick the good ones.
Exactly, too. So there's a lot of things that are negative, but also, when you have a bad reputation with somebody, they'll assume everything negative with you. And the best example I got of that is a story that Jim Cornette told one time.
Yeah.
When he was booking for Ring of Honor. And there were a lot of calls in the Ring of Honor. People basically saying that Jim Cornette was doing a shitty job booking Ring of Honor.
Yes.
At one point. He was getting a bad reputation.
Yeah, I was watching during that time. I remember when he was in charge of Ring of Honor.
So at one point, they were trying to do something where they said he'll step down as the matchmaker on camera, but still do it backstage, but they'll just put somebody else in that they like. And they like, I think it was Nigel McGuinness.
Yeah, it was Nigel.
They put in Nigel, because everybody loves Nigel.
Yeah.
So, but they did the same exact card, everything that Jim had booked. We're going to throw it out there, keep doing what we're doing, we'll just have Nigel on camera. And they had the thing where Vince, where Jay Lethal tossed him over the table when Lethal snapped, and they put Jim Cornette out of action. So they went to Canada.
They had Kevin Steen spit on Jay Lethal's mom.
Yeah. And then Lethal snapping, Cornette's trying to calm him down. Cornette gets tossed over the table, so he's out of action. And then they go to Canada, because Cornette apparently can't go to Canada.
Yeah.
And they said they did the same car that Cornette had booked, and the crowd loved it. Thank God Cornette wasn't part of this piece of shit, wasn't part of this amazing booking.
Like, it was his card. Yeah.
And he still was. So, he pulled the wall over everyone's eyes.
Yeah, shouts out to Jim Cornette.
Yeah, and that just shows the point that even if Vince Russo comes in with good ideas, and from time to time, he'll have good ideas. None of them were used in WCW, but he has good ideas. And the thing is that even if regardless, the fact that Vince Russo has a bad reputation and a lot of hardcore wrestling fans despise him, having him on your company is bad PR.
Yeah, just because of the name.
Just because of the name.
Okay, that's as good of a note as any to end on. Make sure you listen to this program, The Rexplex, every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Listen to all the shows on rantemradio.com, starting on Mondays with That Awful Podcast at 7. And Freaks and Geeks live at 11:15 p.m. Listen to The Rant every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. with AA and Tony C. Turnbuckle Throwbacks on Wednesday with Dave Mega Powers and the Impact player Phil Rea. And on Thursdays, this show, of course, at 7. And immediately following, Rant and Wrestling at 9. On Saturdays, the Wrestling Call-In Show, live at 11 p.m. with William Morgan. And on Sundays, the What Are You Reading comic book show with Surfer and Jordan Cobb at 5 p.m. And as well as pre- and post-shows for every pay-per-view. This has been the Rexplex, episode number 22. I would like to thank Lexi V. I would like to thank Vinny Bucci. Make sure you listen to Bucci on Bucci Talk, Bucci shows, all of his shows on excuse me, wait, I'm not sure if he's back still on the line. I was going to let him plug. listen to all of Bucci's. So just search Bucci on Blog Talk Radio. But thank you to Bucci and Lexi V for being around. Thank you to everyone on Rant EM Radio. Thank you to you, the listener, and everyone else. Have a great week. Stay positive. Take care of yourselves and somebody else. I hope you enjoyed the Rexplex. Have a great night, everybody. I'll see you next week.
Irresistible.